I said I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. Well, you know, Trump was in court again yesterday. He was also up in Harlem and received by a large crowd. Meanwhile, Joe Biden couldn't get a crowd to save his life. They have video footage of Joe Biden at a Wawa in Pennsylvania. And the whole thing was staged. And when Trump goes to a bodega, it's all authentic. You could just see it. You could tell. These guys aren't actors. Well, Trump is an entertainer, that's for sure. But Joe Biden is clearly not. And just bumbling idiot, like misspeaks all the time. Like we have a clip of him saying the middle class didn't build America. Where have we heard that before? Wasn't that a Barack Obama talking point? You didn't build that. You didn't build that. So the liberals are anti-American. And we find ourselves in a bit of a civil war where they want to open the borders. And, you know, the thing about it is I can continue on with that, but I've already done that. Open the border and get us into endless wars and funnel money through laundering in Ukraine and elsewhere. And the problem with that, incidentally, Speaker Johnson is now fallen into bad graces with Trump. So Trump has now cracked down on Speaker Johnson, even though it was 10 days ago or less that Speaker Johnson came down to Mar-a-Lago and made a promise that he was going to crack down on election integrity and, you know, in the voter rolls and making sure illegals can't vote. Well, where is that? So we'll see. But he's lost it, really, the trust and the respect of the entire Republican caucus. And you wonder, was Matt Gaetz right? Certainly, what McCarthy was not the answer. That's one thing. But a lot of people were throwing Matt Gaetz under the bus. But Matt Gaetz was right. You need to get a strong leader in there to lead. So anyway, Trump made some really good points coming out of court. They finally have jury selection. And all the talk is about in the hush money case in New York. And all the talk is about how the jury is so biased. And it is true. They are completely biased. They're so biased, in fact, that they're even admitting that they can't be nonpartisan. They can't be impartial. So we have audio clips of that. And Jesse Waters gave a good little bit on that, and we're going to play some of that. But first, we got to get to this election interference truth that Donald Trump put out on Truth Social. Let's take a listen to that, because it's going to set the stage for what we're going to talk about today.
How does it feel to have a jury?
How does it
Here it comes.
Thank you very much. I wanted to just say that I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. These are all stories. This is over the last few days from legal experts. This is Wall Street Journal editorial. But all of these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case. The case is ridiculous. This is another one. The case is a ridiculous Trump indictment. It's missing fraud. There is no fraud. All of these stories are stories of how, and these are done by the experts and editorials, Bragg falsified business record, and he falsifies them. He's the one. He's the fraud. But take a look at all of these are our stories. You see them here. Bragg's indictment even falls as an indictment. All of them. Bragg crosses the Rubicon, indicting Trump on nonsense. The whopping outrage in Trump's indictment. It's a whopping outrage, and it is an outrage. Everybody's outraged by it. You know, we had 18 DA or DA types or clubs. 18 or 19 or 21, they counted all their in and out like. And in the meantime, you have murders going on right outside in New York. Look at this National Review. Another National Review. Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Andrew McCarthy. Every one of them saying they call it a zombie case, meaning it is no case. And they say, is it constitutional? They don't think the case is. These are all stories that have taken place over the last few days. Take a look at this. D.A. Bragg wants us to believe that his pursuit of Trump isn't political. Of course it's political. And they're doing it for Biden. They're doing this for Joe Biden. Even the Rolling Stone, no friend of mine, they don't like, it says, they don't like Bragg's chances on this case. It's a disgrace. That's a nice headline. I'd like to read that one too. But everyone who lies about the case, justice is on trial. You know, the whole world is watching this New York scam. The trial spectacle begins. That's Wall Street Journal. It's political. This is a Wall Street Journal editorial. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this, and this is your result. Look at that. Each one of them a story. And it's very unfair. Very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice, we have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So thank you very much.
So, you know, I think that The sickest human being in America today has got to be Stormy Daniels. She's the one that was photographed with Donald Trump, loving Trump. Trump was her celebrity, her superstar. There's photographs where she's just wanting to get a photograph with Donald Trump. She wrote glowing things about Donald Trump after the alleged whatever. It wasn't a rape. It wasn't anything, but maybe sexual encounter. If that, we don't even know that. Because Stormy Daniels said in her own writing, nothing of the sort ever happened. And that Donald Trump and Donald Trump's attorney at the time, Michael Cohen, wrote a check. Some people were suggesting that he was the one that fell for Stormy Daniels' supposedly good looks and fell into her charms and decided to pay her off. But at the end of the day, it's Stormy Daniels that went on to a nighttime long talk show, late night talk show, and talked about Trump's penis size and some other stuff. And she's the one that was paid off by the liberals to trash Trump. And she's allowing this. She sees this every single day, what she's done to this man, who is a great leader, was a great president, and will be a great president again. And she's so sick that she can't stand up and say, you know what? This has gone too far. Whatever this happened in 2014 or 15 or whenever this alleged incident happened, it may have been 2011. Because this all just came out as a story in 2015-16 in the lead up to an election. And how this case is still going on is beyond me. It's a hush money case. Bill Clinton paid off Paula Jones $850,000. And the case just went away. Stormy Daniels got paid, what, $130,000 to shut up? But the bigger problem is that she could sit there, and I don't know why there's not enough talk, in my opinion, there's not enough talk about Stormy Daniels. Shame on you. Shame on a person that would sit by and do nothing. She should be a star witness for the defense, which is Donald Trump. If she had anything of credibility, any integrity whatsoever, she would do that. We got more on this story. I like this Kevin O'Leary. Not a big fan of Kevin O'Leary. He aligned himself with FTX and defrauded a lot of people and somehow got paid a lot of money from FTX to basically cover up and help them cover up their and defended them. He was almost like a paid spokesperson to give some legitimacy to a fraudulent action. And he's on Shark Tank, and he's probably good friends with Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's an idiot. But even that idiot says that the courts have gone too far. And so Kevin O'Leary has been very outspoken about, and not a friend of Trump's. Neither is Dershowitz. And we got clips from both of them saying how much this is a travesty.
This is an American president. This is the office of the United States of America's highest office. And we're doing this? This is sheer stupidity. And I'll tell you what should happen. This should be pushed until after he wins or doesn't win. This should be not part of this election cycle at all. And this is not a Trump-loving comment. This is about the American brand, where I bring capital from all around the world to invest here. We look like clowns.
Yes.
I hate this.
Yeah.
Right. He's not a fan of Trump's. And he always has to throw that caveat in. But you got Bill Barr, not a friend of Trump's.
Well, I've said from the beginning, this case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case. It's also, as you say, it's not only far-fetched, they're trying to predicate it on a federal crime, which wasn't prosecuted, and they're wrong about it. This was not a campaign contribution. They're just wrong on the law. But to me, this shows that the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excesses of the progressive left. They're perverting the system of justice, and you know that's where the danger lies: the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
I heard you call this.
Right, Bill Barr's right, and then you got Alan Dershowitz. Again, a liberal.
How is it possible that this judge could donate to Joe Biden and to a group called Stop Republicans and not be recused from the case?
Well, that's only one of many criteria that should apply to him. His daughter is apparently making money just by the fact that he is the trial judge. And if there is a conviction, she'll make more money by raising funds for Democrats off this trial. This is such a clear case for recusal.
How is it possible that this...
Right. How is it possible in America? We're a banana republic, thanks to the left. If you're a liberal voter out there and you can't see past this, you can't get your head past this, shame on you. Jesse Waters actually exposed a bunch of them. They just don't care about the law. They don't care about anything but themselves, really. They're just so selfish. Here you got one, though, that at least it can admit it. Yeah, let's take a listen to this right here. Let's see. I had it queued up just right, and then I didn't.
Dismissed juror says this jury cannot be impartial.
What happened? Why were you dismissed?
Because I couldn't be impartial.
Do you feel like the people that you were speaking with in that jury room that you sat with all day on Tuesday, that they can put together a fair and impartial jury because of that sense of duty? Do you think that's possible?
I'm not sure about that.
She doesn't
really
think they can be impartial.
You know, everybody has biases and, you know, stereotypes in their mind. So you have to be a really, you know, deep and, fair person. Which is very hard to do, right?
No, it's
in
not
order
hard
to serve as a juror.
It's not hard to do.
Self-proclaimed unbiased jurors are blasting Trump and saying there's no way the jurors they've been talking to can be fair. And others are getting caught lying to get on the jury and getting caught posting on Facebook, lock him up. The most famous man in the world, whose personal life was in the tabloids for decades, and who was already president, and who's had hundreds of millions of dollars in negative attack ads thrown at him. The most investigated politician in American history and the most lied about politician is not going to get a fair trial in his opponent's most partisan city. The prosecutor is a Biden Democrat. The judge is a Biden donor. The Biden campaign paid the judge's family. And people arrested for tearing down Republican lawn signs or lying to the court to get on the jury? Donald Trump, if he's reelected, his policies are going to directly change the lives of these jurors, from taxes to health care to foreign policy. But, you know, honestly, he's mostly going to affect their mental health. How could they ever put any of this aside? That's why we don't have political trials in this country. These 12 jurors know more about Donald Trump than any juror has ever known about any defendant ever.
Right. So how's he going to get a fair trial? There's another part of this, though, where he was showing these clowns just their inability to be that. I don't have that clip, but some of these clowns are just liberal. Like, sure, you know, like, I don't care. It's Donald Trump. He's guilty no matter what. He was guilty before he even stepped into the courtroom. So we got other news we want to talk about. Oklahoma House passes bill making illegal immigration a state crime. Hello, Texas. Hello, every red state or every state that has a Republican. Hello, Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania has a Republican legislature. Hello, Georgia. Come on, man. Let Oklahoma lead the way. Oklahoma House passes bill making illegal immigration a state crime. How brilliant is that? It's a crime. Illegal immigration is a crime. And it's resulting in election fraud. And that's why the Bidens are doing it. That and corporate greed and the profits that corporations make from the slave labor that they're importing is going into the pockets of the politicians that are keeping the border open in the first place. And the NGOs, they're getting paid per head for human trafficking to help keep the money train flowing. It's all rigged. The White House admits Biden's uncle wasn't eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. He died in the Pacific Ocean crash, not over Africa. Unbelievable. What a liar. What a liar Joe Biden is. So this story goes like this. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre acknowledged Thursday that President Biden's maternal uncle, Ambrose Finnegan, actually died when his plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean during World War II, and that he wasn't eaten by cannibals, as Biden implied. Wow. So I guess Biden just lied. That's what he did. He lied. How do you like them apples? Crazy, right? Crazy how you could have this type of deception. I mean, the guy that's made his life plagiarizing. You know who else lies? Walmart lies. Walmart lies. So here's a woman that was buying chicken. She looks at the price, it's super expensive. And then they realize that the price, the weight has been doubled. And then they did it with something else, and that weight was doubled as well. So they just add like a times two to the scale. And that's how they come up with their weight on products to get weighed in the store. So when you go out to the store, Bidenomics, 19% inflation, not 3.5%, 19% inflation. People are spending $750 more per month on average to get by. No matter that takes into account the average, that takes into account wage increases and real inflation, which is in some cases 30% went on goods that you need every day. The inflation itself is a redistribution of wealth from the middle class to the elite who own equity. And it is a way, and I heard this too, but yeah, of course, it's the importing of migrants is just a way to basically control a larger population, because that's the lowest of the low. There's poverty in our country, and then there's illegal migrants, which are lower than poverty. And they're coming with a soup cup in hand, and they'll do anything. If they're told with a press sheet from an NGO to vote for Biden, they will. Even though it's illegal to do so, they will. They're told to do it. That was printed out and passed along, and everybody knows it. Mayorkas is to blame, but what the heck? Do you think he'll pay any consequences? Of course, the Democrats don't even want a hearing. They don't even want to hear the evidence. A hearing to hear the evidence. Just when you think Democrats have hit rock bottom, Lake Riley's murderer released over lack of detention space, but Mayorkas lied about it. He did. He lied about it. Also, after he was released because the beds were full, why? Because they removed Remain in Mexico. If they said Remain in Mexico, then it would be on Mexico's beds. But instead, they allow them into our country. And when the detention centers are full, which they're always full, they then always allow these criminals to go free and roam around our country, killing and murdering, you know, murdering people and ripping people off. And they just allow them to roam around our country until their hearing, which they never show up for. And their hearing is scheduled for 5 years from now. Literally, like 3 to 5 years waiting time. What are they going to do during that time? How many crimes are they going to commit? I mean, this is not, these people are not stupid. These people are not that dumb that they don't know how to close a border. These people are doing it on purpose, obviously. For ballots harvesting, the ballot harvesters are going to collect their ballots. So as long as we have U.S. mail mailing out every ballot for every person in America, think about the cost of that. 330 million people are getting ballots. 300 million people are getting ballots. How much does that cost in postage, in labor? How much does that cost? And it goes both ways. They mail them out, then they have to mail them in. How much does it cost to pay all these ballot harvesters to make a difference in the outcome of an election? The fraud knows no bounds. It's nothing but fraud now in D.C. It's gotten so much worse. They used to even sort of act like they cared. Now they don't even do that. Look at Chuck Schumer and his decision to not have a hearing. It goes further, though. Not only did this killer of Laken Riley get released because there was a lack of beds, no space in the detention center, Mayorkas lied about it twice, three times maybe, saying he didn't know why he was released until the documents came out. And then he said, I can't talk about it. And then what did he do? He didn't mention the fact that they offered him a work permit before he killed Laken Riley. And then he ended up killing Laken Riley. This is what Mayorkas did.
That's a question. You know what he did?
Josh Hawley.
I know what he's accused of doing.
Which is?
Murdering a young woman.
And that wasn't the first crime that he committed in this country, was it?
Senator, as I've articulated previously, I'm not going to speak about the facts of the case because there is an ongoing criminal investigation.
Have you read his parole file?
Senator, same answer.
So you're not going to say whether or not you've read the parole file? I've got it right here. Have you read this?
Senator, I do not want to speak to the particulars of the case given the pending criminal prosecution.
Now, I find this interesting because this is a new answer today. You've changed your answers all over the map on this, and it looks like to me you just don't want to answer the question. Two days ago, you were asked about this in the House Homeland Security Committee. I've got the transcript right here in front of me. You were asked the same question. Jose Ibarra, why was he paroled? You said, I don't know. You said, I don't know. I don't have the case details with me today. Congressman Bishop says, you don't know? And you said, I don't know. I don't have the details with respect to that individual's case, but I would be pleased to provide them to you, Congressman. You didn't know 2 days ago. Now, interestingly, on April the 10th, 6 days before that, you gave Senator Katie Britt a different answer. She asked you the same question. She said, why was Jose Ibarra paroled into the United States? You said, and I quote, Ranking Member Britt, there was no derogatory information of which we were aware. So you were happy to comment on the case then on April the 10th. By April the 16th, you had developed amnesia, and today you say you just won't comment. So which is it, Mr. Secretary? Now that we have the file, I'll tell you what the difference is. Congressman Bishop didn't have the parole file, and Senator Britt didn't have the parole file, and now we do have the parole file. And now we all know that the reason he was paroled into this country was because lack of detention capacity, which, as you and I both know, is not a valid reason under the statute. And now that we know that for sure, this is right out of the parole file. Here it is. Subject was paroled due to detention capacity at the Central Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Now, suddenly, you don't want to talk about it. This is extraordinary. It's also a pattern with you. So, let me just try one more time. Have you read the parole file?
Senator, I'm going to give the same answer, and let me say it.
Well, which one? Are you going to give me the answer you gave to Senator Britt? Are you going to give the answer you gave to Congressman Bishop, or the answer you gave to Senator Paul, or do you want to try a fourth one?
Senator, I will not speak to the particulars of the case, given the pending criminal prosecution.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, you certainly, of course you don't want to, because it is an absolutely damning indictment of your policies. Let's just review Ibarra, and how he came to be here. On September the 8th, 2022, he was encountered by United States Border Patrol in El Paso, Texas, and was paroled into the United States due to lack of detention capacity. A provision, a proviso, a rule that is not permitted under the statute. You and I both know you know this. You knew it when you were talking to Congressman Bishop. You knew it when you were testifying to Senator Britt, and you know it today. You just never wanted to cop to it because the statute doesn't permit it. And so you lied to Congressman Bishop, and you lied to Senator Britt. And now you are hiding behind the ongoing prosecution excuse because it's the last one left to you because you testified falsely under oath. Then on July 19th, 2023, Ibarra reports for a biometric appointment and was fingerprinted. This is now in New York. The results come back and indicate he has a criminal history. So he's in this country. He has a criminal history. September 14th, he is arrested in New York by NYPD for what? Injuring a child. September 14th, 2023, he is arrested for injuring a child. What happens? The offense was never prosecuted and the arrest was expunged. I'm reading right out of the parole file. Expunged. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Lake and Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
You've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all. Let me ask you something else. Travis Wolf, do you know that name?
Not off the top of my head.
Travis Wolf is a 12-year-old boy from Missouri. This is him. Travis was killed on December 20th, 2023, or I should say he was in a tragic attack on that night. He died some weeks later, head-on collision. The person driving the vehicle, who's now been charged with 6 criminal counts, is Indrina Bracco. Do you know who that is?
I do not, but let me communicate that I know that all of our hearts break for the family of this young boy who died in that accident.
Well, she's an illegal migrant here from Venezuela. Local law enforcement tell me that she was detained briefly at the border in 2023 and then released. And then she commits this crime. Multiple people have been stabbed in O'Fallon, Missouri, by illegal migrants. Mr. Secretary, I know that you think your policies are a success. You've sat right there in that chair, and you've told me over and over, our policies are working. You're on the record years and years saying that. Maybe they're working for you. Maybe they're working for your political objectives, whatever they may be. I don't know. But they're not working for Laken Riley or Travis Wolf or the people of my state. They are, in fact, a travesty. What you have done is a travesty.
Wow, that was powerful. That was absolutely powerful. So that was good. Good on Senator Hawley for doing that. People need to speak up. People need to speak out. You know, Byron Donald is one of the few that's spoken out. Let's take a listen.
Let me just tell our viewers so I don't startle.
Right, this is not the clip. Byron Donald's right here.
I view it as a political charade. I view it as a farce, a kangaroo court, absolute foolishness, hot garbage. Do you need more explanations than that? You have a situation where they took some bookkeeping charge where by the way, the statute of limitations has expired. They try to weave in something dealing with election law when the FEC said there's nothing to see here, and all of a sudden there are 34 felonies in New York. Give me a break. That is a travesty of justice. And this is about Donald Trump, but it's not. If they could do this to Donald Trump, they could do this to any American. But the truth is, Alvin Bragg would not do this to any American, which means that this is selective prosecution. This is political interference. The American people see it for what it is, and it should not be allowed to continue. You got this judge who said that President Trump can't even go to the graduation of his son. I mean, come on, that is pure spite. It is motivation for them. This is what the radical left wants to see happen. They don't care about justice. They care about getting their pound of flesh. And that is not what the United States of America is about.
And they're fundraising off of getting that pound of flesh. That's what they're doing. They're fundraising. Every time you punch Trump in the nose, they're fundraising off of that. They're saying, I'll pay you if you do it again. It was so pleasurable to me. That's where the heads of the Democrats are. And they think the MAGA group is deplorable. They think that America First patriots are deplorable, or terrorists, MAGA terrorists, or alt-right. None of that is true. There is an alt-right wing of the Republican Party. And guess what? They're usually Democrats. We've had people try to infiltrate Red State Talk Radio. And they've been proven to be Democrats, yet everybody thinks, even still to this day, think that someone like the Kraken is some sort of a conservative. They're not. They are just as bad. They are just as much. They're registered liberals. I know for a fact that some of the people that some people might know I'm talking about are registered liberals infiltrating the Republican Party. Not undifferent than, say, a General Flynn, who was a Democrat his whole life, hired by Obama twice, fired by Obama, but also the first person to get fired by Donald Trump. And a lot of people think that this stuff, I'm telling you, man, there's so much crap going on in the conservative movement. And it's why we're divided. It's why we've lost. And so those infiltrators have succeeded in, you know, kind of like, but I think that Trump's wised up. That's why I think that Trump is going to pick a Lee Zeldin and make a play on and run on New York. I think he's going to do that. And I think also that he has a chance with the help of Robert F. Kennedy. You're going to see RFK Jr. and Trump go at it. Because Biden is going to be, you know, sleeping in his quarters, right? So they're going to go at it. And the more they fight, there's no such thing as bad press. Even negative press is good press. The polls keep going up, even with the negative press, right? Well, the point about that is, if you're not being talked about at all, you're irrelevant. So even if you're getting talked about in the negative light, it's a win. And I just think that with RFK and his Shanahan sidekick, Uber left Californian, I think that they could help Trump pick up California, New York, and Massachusetts. I said that yesterday, say it again today. And I also think that Lee Zeldin is on the short list for Donald Trump. All right, we're going to go ahead and take this caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Foreign aid.
Good morning.
That's where the money's coming from.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Foreign aid. That's where the money's coming from. You got Republicans and Democrats. They don't want to. You think Mitch McConnell really wants Donald Trump in office?
No.
Exactly. This whole war in Israel and Ukraine, this is like a theater.
Well, you know,
I mean,
people
are dying.
Trump had to pay off Mitch McConnell just to get along. And you know how he paid Mitch McConnell off?
By allowing him to keep doing what he's been doing?
No, by hiring Elaine Chao as transportation secretary. You think that was by mistake? Elaine Chao is Mitch McConnell's wife. And guess what she owns? She owns the Foremost Group. Guess what that is? That's the world's largest shipping company out of China. The Department of Transportation.
Oh, I know that. I think that's... it's such a shell because, I mean, if China was really... I mean, I don't know...
But that's what it took
for
Trump to survive, because the Senate majority at the time would have voted to impeach. You know, what was happening then is you had both a Republican House and a Republican Senate. But as soon as 2018 happened, I think Mitch McConnell was still Senate Majority Leader. But what ended up happening is you had the House become run by Adam Schiff. They did the impeachment hoax with the Ukrainian call. And it was up to the Senate. And that's why he endorsed, and that's why he and Lindsey Graham got along. That's why he gave the job to Elaine Chao with Mitch McConnell in order to not get a trial and, you know, impeached by the Senate.
Well, it's pretty amazing to watch all this. I mean, it's the American people. I mean, they're telling us China's our enemy, but yet they go beg China for money, for bombs. Import more products from China in our country than we've ever seen before. Everything's made in China now, but yet China's supposedly trying to kill everybody with the fentanyl that's coming in from, you know, the southern border. I mean, who's to say they're not putting fentanyl in all our products? If it's this dangerous that you could just touch it, get it into your skin, get it in your pores, and it could kill you, who's
absolutely
to say they're not mixing it in with the paint cups, the cups they send us, everything else.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
So it's all about stealing your tax dollars and suppressing the citizens in all the different countries.
Not only that, but you got pharmaceutical companies that profit from sickness, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got Pfizer buying up the patents to cancer, turbo cancers and myocarditis.
Sure.
But hey, thank you. We got another call waiting on the line. We have another caller.
Take care, my friend.
Okay, take care. All right, so caller, you're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Donna from California. I'm hoping that every place that Donald Trump is supposed to be campaigning, that they'll have a person in the Senate or Congress going over there when they're running, and to bring up Donald Trump and have a big Trump rally, so that they have a whole bunch of people. So those people will continue on Trump's behalf while he's sitting around doing a wasteful jury. And so I'm happy to have Paul Preston back, by the way.
All right,
and
great.
That's what I think they should do.
Great.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Take care. All right. So that we're going to put this system back on. Okay. All right. So we got a couple of calls there. And we got this to listen to as well. I have a bunch of stuff that I want to play. Election interference. I have a clip on that. I'm missing one of the things I wanted to play. But I did mention earlier in the show, I said Donald Trump has had enough with Speaker Mike Johnson. So Simon Atiba, I follow him. He's an African journalist that is at really at odds with Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre hates this guy. And he's from Africa, and he's an American journalist reporting on American politics on behalf of Africa. And he's a very conservative guy, as are many. Trump is resonating in Black Harlem and Black Bronx, and it's unbelievable how he's trending. People are in love with Trump. Jesse Waters had some stuff on about that just last night. Donald Trump has had enough with Speaker Mike Johnson, opposes bill sending billions more to Ukraine. He writes, why isn't Europe giving more money to help Ukraine? Why is it that the United States is over $100 billion into the Ukraine war, more than Europe? And we have an ocean between us as separation. Why can't Europe equalize or match the money put up by the United States in order to help a country in desperate need? As everyone agrees, Ukrainian survival and strength should be much more important to Europe than to us. But it's also important to us. Get moving, Europe. In addition, I am the only one who speaks for me. And while it is a total mess caused by crooked Joe Biden and the incompetent Democrats, if I were president, this war would have never started. Oh, absolutely. That's true. That's so true. Trump's a boss. Well, let's take a listen to this. The left are ruthless anti-free speech radicals who think all speech opposing them is violence. Let's take a listen.
If the news of the day requires it.
Let me just tell our viewers, so I don't startle them, what we're doing. We have made a decision on this first day that if Donald Trump comes MSNBC. Out and starts talking, we might want to listen to him for a little bit. We're going to do something. We're going to do it together. I promise we're going to come out of this if he starts lying or threatening people.
Others are urging that Biden not debate Trump at all, as we just said with that quote from The Atlantic magazine, especially bad because they're just essentially saying that he's subhuman, he's evil, and he doesn't deserve to be treated like a real candidate. Talk about election interference. Now, freedom of speech still exists for the left, but not so much for the rest of you. In fact, I think most sensible people, when you talk to them about these issues, if they have a traditional set of beliefs, or slightly traditional set of beliefs even, they just get used to self-censoring. They watch what they say all the time. It's the only way to avoid having their kids shunned at school or maybe even losing their jobs. Look at what happened to that poor senior editor at the taxpayer-supported NPR. After blowing the whistle on the pro-Democrat bias among what is overwhelmingly a liberal executive workforce staff there, his bosses suspended him. How's that for all things considered? Now, we're not dealing with the old liberals anymore. Get used to this. They used to relish debate. They were proud to be free speech absolutists. Today, the landscape is filled with landmines, and those landmines are planted by ruthless anti-free speech radicals. Say the wrong thing, associate with the wrong people, be in the wrong place, and yeah, they want you blown up. It's time to expose them as the sniveling cowards and wannabe tyrants that they are. It is time for all of us, each and every one of us, to be fearless. And that's the angle.
I know so many people that lost their jobs once it was found out that they didn't like Hillary or supported Trump. As far back as 2015, I remember this because it happened to Leonora. And she was censored. And, you know, so that's one in part one of the reasons why we decided if she's going to continue with nonprofit, she's going to go into the world of conservatism. She was working for a homeless advocacy organization. And the people there, she was doing great work, got great reviews, everything. And next thing you know, they found out that she was a writer, moonlighting, and wrote something negative about Hillary Clinton, and she was asked to leave. Personal. I have friends that could tell same stories. some friends that are conservative that lost their jobs as a result of it. And this was 2015. This is 10 years ago. But I know this to be the case going back to the late 80s. It's why Bernie Goldberg wrote the book Media Bias, because it was happening in the editorial boards. It was happening in our education, our colleges. It's just gotten worse. So a juror sworn in by Judge Merchant just admitted she's biased, right? Now, I don't want to be playing the same thing I already played. So.
One of the jurors called the court to inform them that she did not know whether she could actually be fair and impartial. She was asked to come to court this morning and went before the defense and went before the district attorney's office and answered questions about how she got to that conclusion. And she said in part that she got calls just yesterday alone from, quote, friends, colleagues and family, quote, questioning my identity as a juror. She continued, I don't believe I can be fair and unbiased and let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom. This hits at the heart of the difficulty for these jurors over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. These are individuals who, they are anonymous, yet we and the sides have some details about who these individuals are, their neighborhoods, their occupations.
Well, this is election interference because Trump cannot go out and campaign where he should be. He should be in all these different states, and he can't do it. So you would have to be a communist to believe this is America. So let's take a listen to this clip. Election interference. November 9th, 2022.
Decision was tied to your predecessor, who is about to launch another campaign. So how do you reassure them, if that is the reason for their questioning, that the former president will not return, or that his political movement, which is still very strong, will not once again take power in the United States?
Well, we just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he... under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
3 days later, after he says that.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
And 3 days later after that.
That investigation. Today, I signed an order appointing Jack Smith to serve as special counsel.
Then April 4th, 2023.
Returned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime.
August 15th, 2023.
Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump, Rudolph William Lewis Giuliani, John Charles.
August 1st, 2023.
An indictment was unsealed.
Jack Smith.
Charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The indictment was issued by a grand jury of citizens here.
Some of your lawyering led to the exposure of the evidence in this case. The New York trial now will be Donald Trump's first and possibly only trial this year. How do you assess the strength of the prosecution's case?
Well, I think what I'm about to say is going to surprise a lot of people, and that is that, I think this is the wrong case at the wrong time, Ari.
Well, it just cut out there, actually. But, it's election interference. Trump should be rallying every day and getting people out to vote, getting people registered to vote. And he can't do that while he's sitting in a courtroom. They did this by design. I don't know if the FEC or the Department of Justice, well, obviously not, but the FEC or somebody, some advocacy group could step up and fight back. But we don't know. So, hey, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. Also, make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And we'll see you next time.
Grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper. Bye, buddy. Just to bury my kids right up to there.